The Bird Show.
Buzzed on the hot goss from Hollywood with Abby.
It's the Bird Show. Spooky buzz.
You know
here's Abby.
I forgot that someone had to get murdered before we started this episode. You know what's really scary is finding out that some random 19-year-old in their basement streaming is making 15 times the amount that you are, because Forbes just released a list of the top influencers where they followed their follower counts, their engagement rates, and also their very, very, very high earnings. And some of the people that came at the top of the list were, of course, the Paul brothers. Logan Paul is in 12th place thanks to his WWE career and also brands that he's associated with, like his clothing company and Lunchly. Apparently, he made $9.8 million this year. His brother Jake made $13.6 million because he has a betting app called Better and also a body care brand. Good for him.
Mm-hmm.
Internet superstar Kai Cenat made $8.5 million. He was the first streamer to partner with Nike and signed a multi-million dollar deal with Rumble.
I think I just saw him in a T-Mobile commercial with Snoop.
Yeah. He's killing it, man.
Very impressive. Livy Dunn is one of the biggest college athletes right now. She's a gymnast from LSU. I believe she just signed on for a fifth year because she's that good and that dedicated to her craft. She made $3.9 million from her NIL deals, and this made her the top earning female in college sports.
Wow.
Is that right?
Yes. Now, we have to get to the top spot because there can only be one wiener. And
one wiener.
Do you not like this dude?
No! I mean, I'm just looking at his earnings and I'm like impressed and a little envious. Do you know who he is? Mr. Beast is still the top influencer to this day. He made $85 million this year.
Wow.
It's insane.
Isn't that crazy?
The money is ridiculous.
How much of that money does he get back to charity, though?
He has said, I don't know what it is, and he's also, like, bought all of his friends and family homes in his own neighborhood, so he's got his own, like, compound. But I'm not exactly sure how much he gives back to charity.
He's one of those people that you're not mad that they're famous, because he does seem like he's a really good dude. And he has such a good eye for content. He really gets the short attention span of Gen Z.
I also saw that your dude Matt Rife is on that list somewhere in the top 15.
Oh,
he's
no surprise.
A ton of cash. And I talked about it yesterday. That kid that opens up the presents, Ryan, that was so cute when he was like a little kid. Right? And he opens up the whatever gifts come, and he's been doing that for years. He's like in the top 10. The kid made like $35 million, and he's like a teenager now.
All right, when it comes to Mr. Beast, real name Jimmy Donaldson, donates 100% of the revenue from his YouTube channel, Beast Philanthropy to charity. And then he says he pours all his earnings back into video production to further his charity events. He is quoted as saying in a Yahoo article, 100% of the profits from my ad revenue, merch sales, and sponsorships will go towards making the world a better place.
From YouTube? So he's got other platforms. I'm sure the dude is making some money somewhere, but all the profits from YouTube.
From his channel, Mr. Beast Philanthropy.
Okay.
But he has multiple channels, right?
He does. Okay.
Yeah.
No,
all right.
So, I ain't mad at him, though.
I'm not mad about it. I mean, you work hard for your money, you reap what you sow, and so you can't really be upset at someone who's crushing the content game and really bringing it in. So if your kid wants to start a YouTube channel, I wouldn't hate on it because they could be a millionaire tomorrow. Okay, it's time for a little bit of spooky buzz trivia. Because it's Halloween, of course. So I have a couple of basic questions about some Halloween movies that I will present to you and play some clips along the way. And if you can get it right, you just win pride. That's really it. I didn't bring any prizes today. So the first question comes from Hocus Pocus. Okay,
that was abrupt.
Never mind. It's not the clip. I don't know what I thought that clip was going to be, but it was not that one. What are the names of all three Sanderson sisters in Hocus Pocus?
I've only seen 15 minutes of this movie.
I've never seen it.
I wouldn't say I was forced to watch it a couple years ago. I did it of my own free will. It does not stand the test of time, but if you watched it in your childhood, I get why you have, like, you know, love for it. I have no idea what these women's names are.
It is Winnie, Sarah, and Mary.
Okay. Mm. Yeah. Never would have got that. Mm-hmm.
Okay. The next one is from Silence of the Lambs.
A census taker once tried to test me. I ate his liver with some fava beans and a nice Chianti.
Oh,
What a neat guy.
All right, what are the names of the two serial killers in The Silence of the Lambs?
All right, so...
Billy and Don.
Buffalo Bill.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, you actually know this.
Yeah, there's one more. Yeah. Buffalo Bill and Don't Tell Me.
Mammal Lecter.
Oh, Hannibal Lecter.
That's right.
How did we not know Hannibal Lecter?
All right, the last one is from Halloween. At the beginning of the original Halloween, child Michael Myers murders his teenage sister. What was her name?
Oh, yeah, no.
Oh, man.
Patricia.
Chelsea.
Obviously, Patricia.
Karen.
It was Judith.
Judith. Bye, Judith.
All right, rumor has it Danny's kids tried to fight someone after a recent Halloween party, and a popular artist had to break them up. I'll tell you what got him so upset on your next E-Buzz on The Burt Show.
The Burt Show.
I know years ago when we started sending Ed from Georgia Paranormal Investigation out to homes, I had a large amount of skepticism when it came to ghosts and spirits like that. But in doing it all these years, or even this week, and hearing all these sounds, I don't know if you don't believe how you could still not believe.
It's the disembodied voices for me. So I know the spirit box and like they can come through electronically and like, you know, pull little snippets as through the fast moving radio stations. But it's when they're just recording and they don't hear it in the moment, but they go back and listen and you can clearly hear a voice that's not theirs. That's the one that just sends me.
Creepy.
So Maria, who told us she's a P1 when she came in here. Good morning.
Good morning.
Thanks for listening all these years.
Absolutely.
Appreciate it. Well, Maria's brought her daughter in here, Veronica. They're from Norcross, and they got themselves a spooky, freaky little house. All right, so tell us everything that goes on in that, because I'm reading the synopsis, and it... Did you know all this stuff before you moved into the house?
I did not.
Okay, yeah.
What do you think? My husband and I got married about 13 years ago.
Okay.
And it didn't happen right away. We had been living there for a few years, and then some things started happening, mostly to Veronica.
Okay.
And then just recently, I started having some occurrences. But everybody in the house right now, and there's a lot of people in the house.
How many are in the house?
There are 10 of us.
Wow. She's tired. The way she rolled her eyes. Oh, there's 10 of us.
They're adults, but they act like kids. So everybody has had an occurrence. Veronica has married and moved out, but she had some very freaky ones.
You say moved out. We say escaped.
Probably.
So before we get into the occurrences, what is the history of the home that you found out after you had purchased it?
Well, my husband has been there for 24 years.
Oh, wow.
So we don't know.
Okay.
Okay.
Veronica, how old were you? Because your mom was saying it was happening to you a lot. How old were you when the first time something happened? And what was it?
I was maybe 16, 17.
Okay.
So one of the first things that happened was... I was sleeping downstairs. My room is in the basement of the house.
Mm-hmm.
So I was sleeping and I felt someone kind of like scratch my back. But instead of getting scared or anything, I just kind of like smacked my teeth out of annoyance and just turned around, saw nothing was there, went back to sleep.
You also got 9 other people in the house. So you're thinking somebody's down there.
Yeah.
Right. Okay.
Yeah. And then another time, again, I was in my room sleeping and I heard someone banging on my door at 3 a.m. And I'm a huge horror fanatic. Mm-hmm. So I was like, I am not opening that door.
You've seen how smart move.
Yeah.
She's seen how this ends, right?
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And then when you're telling your mom these things are going on, what's her reaction initially?
At first, she just kind of like looked at me kind of like, no, okay. But I think... as time went on, she started to sort of believe me a little more.
Did you think, oh, she's watching too many of these movies?
Yeah, because she's huge into horror films. And many times, of course, you watch those when it's dark and you're about to go to sleep. So I'm thinking, well, you know, it can't be anything harming her. Maybe she's like in that state where you're half asleep, half awake.
Right.
So kind of in disbelief. But like in the last couple of weeks, I've had some occurrences. So
Like what?
Oh, gosh. I was in the dining room by myself. One of my dogs started going crazy, barking at the French doors that we have that lead to the deck in the back. I go to turn on the light, and three times the switch turns off. Yeah, and it hasn't happened since then. A few days later, again in the dining room eating by myself, there's a knock on the door, and the three dogs go crazy like they usually do when there's a knock on the door. Mm-hmm. They run to the door. The Ring camera is tied into the porch light. The light didn't come on. Mm-hmm. And I go to the door. There's nobody there. Of course, I'm not going out to look at it. Mm-hmm. But the dogs heard it. I heard it. So yeah, that freaked me out a little bit.
Yeah.
Veronica had a couple more.
There's more?
That were creepier.
Yeah, one time again, I was in my room sleeping and I felt someone start tugging on my blanket.
No.
And again, I wasn't scared. I was more annoyed, so I just kind of smacked my hand down on the blanket.
I mean, yeah, you're 16. You're annoyed at everything anyway.
Yeah. and then one other time so we didn't have a bathroom downstairs in the basement, so I would have to walk upstairs if I needed to go. So it was like 3 a.m, got up, went to the bathroom. On my way back down, I heard someone whisper something in my ear. It was a while ago, so I can't really remember what it was now, but I heard it.
Was it like, you didn't flush?
You forgot to wash your hair.
Give me the blanket.
So I kind of just turned my flashlight on to kind of see maybe if it was one of my brothers or something. Mm-hmm. No one was there.
Nothing there at all.
Ooh.
Okay. All right. So you guys have felt it for sure. You've heard it for sure. So now we're going to make it official. Ed came over to your house in Norcross, checked things out. He's got plenty of sounds for you guys to listen to. So it's only going to confirm what you already know. Okay. Are you ready for this?
We're ready.
All right. We'll bring Ed in next.
The Bird Show.
Maria and her daughter, Veronica from Norcross, are about to get confirmation of what they already know, that there are ghosts and there are spirits in their Norcross home. She was telling us earlier that there are knocks on the door with no one there, figures walking by the window at night. Veronica has felt like scratches on her back and blankets ripped off her, and there's nobody in the room with her. What am I missing here?
I think you covered it, man.
Did we cover it?
I think you covered everything they covered in the last break. What I do want to do is let everybody know what happened at the house and why there might be spirits there.
So this is my husband and I's second marriage. His ex-wife, her brother, moved in with them mm-hmm. when they bought the house. And he lived in the house after their divorce because he worked with my husband. He was there doing the math, maybe a total of about 11 years. Mm-hmm. And he moved out because we needed the rooms because I have 4 kids and my husband has 2. So we asked him to move out. We needed the room and he did. He moved in with a sister and her 3 kids. And unfortunately, one day he had a manic episode and he chased his mom, his aunt, 2 of the children into the bathroom. And this was in the other house where they lived. Chased them into the bathroom and he killed the kids, injured his mom and his aunt. And then he turned the gun and killed himself.
Oh my goodness. I didn't know any of this. Wow.
This was in the townhome where he lived with his sister. But because he lived in our house for so long, that's why. And I don't feel scared mm-hmm. when these things happen. Even if I'm home alone, I don't feel scared. So that's why I'm thinking maybe it's him because he was just in the room. He would mm-hmm. come down, get his plate, go back upstairs.
Yeah.
Nobody would see him. He just stayed in that room. We haven't had much activity in that room, but the people who have lived in that room mm-hmm. say that they have these very nasty nightmares and have actually felt like people on top of them attacking them. So I'm not sure, but because of the history,
yeah.
I'm thinking
yeah.
it might be him.
This kid, this is sad and a little terrifying.
Leah. Mm-hmm,
okay. Sure. All right. So Ed from Georgia Paranormal Investigations went on over to your Norcross home. Ed, where do we start, man? Because Tommy says, of all the times we've done this, of all the times, he said the first piece of audio you have to play today is the scariest he's ever heard.
Absolutely. In fact, it kind of took us aback, too, when we listened to it. So I'll just, you know, start off right away with that one. We were down in the bedroom where the sheets were moving, and you could hear Brian ask, we talked earlier about the sheets moving. Then you hear something growl right into the recorder.
We talked earlier about the sheets moving.
Are you serious?
No, ain't no way.
We didn't hear that at all. Brian actually lay down on the bed, and we were trying to get whatever was there to move the sheets.
Yeah.
And then we got that growl.
And that was in Veronica's room.
That's Veronica's room.
Ooh. Maria, you okay?
That's a little freaky.
Yeah.
I don't think I'm going back to the basement.
That's frightening.
Maria's like, hey, you know what? I haven't been scared of them up until now. Right. Wow. Can we hear that one more time? That is crazy.
We talked earlier about the sheets moving.
Whoa.
And Ed, you're a very stand-up guy. You can go ahead and reassure our listeners. Like, there's no manipulation to any of this audio.
There's absolutely none. Like I said, Brian's laying on the bed to see if we get any reaction. He has a wrist recorder, and we even had him try to duplicate the sounds by moving it on the sheets, and he couldn't duplicate it. It was just there.
Ooh, if I'm you, I'm putting like some dog food down there today. Anything? Some squeaky toys?
Some Milky Bone treats?
Yeah,
a little bit of peanut butter?
Anything? Okay.
Raw steak might help.
Yeah,
raw steak.
That,
ground,
that is
okay.
Intense.
All right. Veronica's so happy she doesn't live there anymore. All right. What else?
Okay. On this next one, Tommy says, try and make the boards squeak on the steps. And we hear, all right.
Try and make the boards squeak on the steps.
Oh, my God.
All right.
Faintly, yeah.
Faintly, yeah. Do it again.
Try and make the boards squeak on the steps.
Is that common where you can give them a command and they actually do it?
Well, we could just ask. Mm-hmm. And then sometimes they come back and say yes. Sometimes you don't hear anything. Sometimes they'll actually do what you ask them to.
Okay.
And unfortunately, it didn't happen this time because Tommy heard a squeak before he asked that question. And he wanted it to happen again, and it didn't. Whew.
I'm a little rattled from the first one still.
Yeah, that growl was different.
You could throw anything at us right now.
Well, we probably would have left the house if we actually heard that.
Yeah, I would have imagined.
Okay, on this next one, Tommy asks, do you live in the house? Then you hear a deep voice say, step away.
Did you live in this house?
Oh, God, yes. And again, I'm going to remind you guys, sometimes if you're listening in your car, it might be difficult to hear. We can hear it loud and clear in our headphones. So later on today, if you really want to freak yourself out, go and listen to it and turn it up. Will you play it again?
Did you live in this house?
Oof.
Okay.
All right, let's check in with these guys. How we doing? You guys both look a little freaked out.
Very sweaty palms.
Let us know when your knees get weak. Okay.
But you've said that you've never felt unsafe in the home, right?
No.
Yeah, not until now.
That growl will do it.
Well, you have to think, too, you're not there. We are. We're strangers in your house.
Right.
So is it directed at us? Is it always there? Whatever. Okay, on this next one, we got Tommy. Tommy asked a lot of questions. In fact...
Hold on one sec. Now I'm putting things together.
Yeah.
So you said you felt that scratch on your back. Mm-hmm. And we just heard that first sound of the dog?
Mm-hmm.
Huh.
Two together, maybe?
So instead of a person, it could have been an animal?
It felt more like...
nails?
Like, yeah, nails. Yeah. Like
okay, because that was a Rottweiler, for sure. That was a big-ass dog.
Maybe you get to choose your second form in the next life. Maybe you always wanted to be a dog. I don't know.
Okay, all right.
Yeah, wolf. That's what it sounded like. Mm-hmm. Anyway, okay, on this next one, Tommy asks... Tell me how old you are, and we get a response saying, young.
Tell me how old you are.
Yeah, that response never changes. I know this as fact. That's what I say also. Play it one more time.
Tell me how old you are.
Dang. And, I wish it would have said, I'm dead, man. I'm not aging question. Well. Okay, and I'm not aging well. I'm dead.
Well, he's young in the afterlife. Okay, on this next one, I say, do you think we were mean to Tommy? We played a prank on him. So anyway, and we get the answer, yes.
Did you think we were mean to Tommy?
Oh, I could hear it immediately. Aww. What was the prank?
Well, we put Tommy in the bathroom where the dogs go crazy. And so Brian closed the door. So we're going to close the door and had the spirit box going in there. And then Brian jiggled the handle like he was trying to get back in. And asked Tommy if he locked the door. And Tommy said, no, I don't have a key or anything. And Tommy tried to pull the door. Brian was holding the door.
Couldn't happen to a nicer guy.
Yeah, he said he didn't get scared, but he was all sweaty and kind of pale when he came out. Nah, he did great. But Brian had asked, did you like that prank? And we got absolutely nothing. Then I asked, you know, did it upset him or make him mad? And then immediately, yes. And when we heard it, it had like a tone like they were really mad at us.
Mm-hmm.
Tommy, they responded to him during the whole investigation more than they did Brian and myself. We heard a female voice and a male voice, and the female voice was very, very kind to Tommy. So don't tell his wife about it.
I mean, look at the dude. You can't hide sex.
That's true. That's true. But anyway, they seemed to be very protective of him. And that was kind of interesting. So you may be right, Maria. There's nothing to fear. They may be protecting you, too. Okay, on this next one, Tommy asks, who is your favorite music artist? And we hear Dead.
Who is your favorite music artist?
Dead. Grateful Dead.
That was our first thought, too. Yeah. But then again, maybe their favorite artist is Dead.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, on this next one, Brian asks, we still haven't caught your name. Can you tell us your name? And we hear the answer, Odette.
We still haven't caught your name. Can you tell us your name?
Odette. Mm. Is that close to any of the people that you were telling us about earlier?
His mom actually passed away since the incident as a result of something else. Mm-hmm. But no, that wasn't her name
Not
either.
Not close. Okay. No.
Okay, and well, this last one that we got for you is kind of interesting, too. We set up a camcorder down in the old bedroom of yours, and it has a microphone on it, and we were upstairs investigating, and then when I reviewed this, this is a sound we got from the bedroom with nobody in there.
Just a bunch of rattling?
Yeah, it sounds like a piece of tin, like somebody was shaking a piece of tin and how that sound makes.
Okay. Yeah, we started strong with that very first one, man. It's like anything we were going to hear after that was going to pale in comparison, right?
Right.
So is that it?
That's it.
All right, I want to hear that first one again, though.
We talked earlier about the sheets moving. Move the sheet for us, please.
Wow. That is so
That's
terrifying.
That is.
Hey, so it's the confirmation for sure what you guys have been feeling in that house, right? How you feel about going back there today?
Well, I have to go back.
Yeah, no choice.
And it confirmed what you guys pretty much already knew, right?
Yeah.
And nothing has happened to you guys previously. And you said your husband has been in this house over 20 years, right?
He's never heard, seen, felt anything.
So while those noises are pretty freaky, the bottom line here, common sense-wise, is nothing has ever happened to you guys. So it's there, but you're still safe.
Yeah.
Right?
It's not attacking anybody. It really liked Veronica.
And she was like, deuces.
Gotta go.
Time to go.
I don't like dogs. Gotta go. You guys, thanks for coming in. Really appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thanks. And thanks for listening so long also.
Absolutely.
It's The Bert Show.
The Bert Show.
All right, since we've been updating it every day at this time, there's good news and bad news. All right? The good news, Freddie Freeman did not hit a home run last night.
I was waiting to see what the good news
All
was.
Right. He did have two RBIs as a former Atlanta Brave. We kind of lift him up. And the bad news is Mosey Yankees lost.
At least it's finally over.
Yeah.
It was stressful.
Start the party, Los Angeles. Your Dodgers have won the World Series.
Yuck, yuck.
Did the Dodgers win in L.A. or in New York?
New York. New York,
unfortunately. Makes it even worse.
Even worse.
Yeah.
Sorry, man.
They already got three Dodger commercials out. It's bad, man.
I turned the game off last night when the Yankees were up 5-0. And as a guy that's actually rooting for the Yankees, I'm like, all right, they are going back to L.A., which will crush Dodger fans if they lose the next couple in L.A., which is what I want. Crush the Dodger fans. Then I woke up this morning. First thing I do is check ESPN, and they had come back to score 5-1 inning.
The fifth inning. The Yankees had the momentum from the beginning of the game. It's looking great. We came out crushing it on fire, and it just seemed like that fifth inning, it all went bad. The Dodgers tied it up, and something told me at that point, it's over. And in the eighth, they finished. The Dodgers were a better team. It is what it is.
We sent Mikey out with some really awful pickup lines.
Well, I pilgrimaged, past tense, back to Milledgeville, which was my college town, to collect some pickup lines from the folks down there.
Okay.
So the premise was that I go, I find someone, I say, what is your best pickup line?
Okay.
That's easy, but I'll pay you $5 to go try it on another person.
And immediately they have to go turn around and use it on somebody else.
I walk with them with the microphone.
Okay.
Either I give them the option, you go find someone or I'll find someone for you. If you're trying to find love, I'll let you pick.
Okay.
But, I was surprised by how many people wanted to try it out. So this is at Deep Roots in Milledgeville. It's like a street festival. Everyone's out there getting saucy. And these are the results.
Okay.
Live from Deep Roots in Milledgeville, Georgia. Yeah.
Which one of y'all got the best pickup line?
Are you from Tennessee? Because you're the only 10 I see.
I love it. All right, hey, I'll pay you $5 to do it to a stranger right now. That's all right, you found one already. Ready?
Excuse me, sir. Come here. Are you from Tennessee? Because you're the only 10 I see.
All right, I appreciate it.
Rejected. Wah, wah.
Aww. It works differently for a woman. When a woman, if she's cute, it doesn't matter. You don't need a pickup line. All you got to do is show up.
Just say hi.
Yeah. That's the best pickup line.
So what you're saying is this girl was busted?
We're not saying that.
I have learned that girls did not need to practice pickup lines much because their only one is the 10 I see thing.
Right.
That's all they've got.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah. I got about a billion girls saying that. And then after that, we had some brutal rejections. There were a lot of brutal rejections. Excuse me, ma'am. What is your best pickup line?
Would you rather be called outgoing or going out with me?
I can pay you $5 if you try it out on a stranger.
It's nice to meet you. Would you rather be known as outgoing or going out with me?
Outgoing, I think.
Ouch.
What? Yeah, so
I'm so uncomfortable.
Man, they need to hesitate.
Dang, that hurts.
That guy, he had his priorities straight.
Oh, I'm curious, on a scale of 1 to 10, how buzzed were you when you were doing this?
Started at about a 2, ended at about an 8.
Okay.
So we're gonna hear the difference as we go through.
I think so. Yeah.
I thought I heard the tongue maybe getting a little thicker.
I know.
Oh, brace yourself for the escalation.
Okay.
Well, so it's a street festival, so families are there, and I think some of these moms, they're reminiscent of their college days, and they were getting wild out there. Hey, Jessica, I want to hear the best pickup line you guys have got.
Are you a golf course? Because I want to play all your holes.
Oh, hey.
Oh,
yo.
Good morning.
Oh, is that too far?
No, that's perfect.
That's perfect. All right, let's go find a stranger. Oh, wait, how about this old guy over here? Right here drinking the beer.
Oh, God, his mom's with him.
That's all right.
Even better.
That's okay.
You got it.
Hey, buddy, are you a golf course? Because I want to play all your holes.
Oh, all right, I'm on my knees.
That's good.
You're the best. You just earned yourself $5.
Thank you. Yep. Oh, yes.
$5. Woo-hoo.
I'm so uncomfortable. Wait. What was the response? I could barely hear the response.
He said he was complimentary of it. He said, all right. But
we know he was of age, right?
Yeah, but he was with his mother, and the lady walks up, hey, buddy. And then says the most out-of-pocket thing ever. Hey, buddy.
Hello, buddy.
Hey. I'm so uncomfortable.
By the way, man on the street, I've never done it before, but I'm pretty sure one of the rules is you're not supposed to let someone else have the microphone.
Yes.
This lady took over for probably 20 minutes.
Yep.
Yeah, so that was my bad.
That's a lesson you have to learn in radio, man. If you're on stage, you never give anybody, and you know this as a stand-up comedian, you never give anybody else the mic.
That's the first rule.
Remember,
at a Burt's Big Adventure event, yeah, and I gave a Burt's Big Adventure kid the mic, we didn't get it back. I think Georgia still has it.
Probably. Well, believe it or not, we did have some success on these pickup lines. All right, what do you got?
I'm not feeling myself today. Can I feel you instead?
Come on. Let's go. You ready?
Can I ask you a question?
Yeah, what's up?
I'm not feeling myself today. Can I feel you instead?
Yeah, you can feel me. Yeah.
Whoa.
All
right.
Okay.
That's a love connection right here.
Not a problem.
Hell yeah.
Well, let's go.
All right. Consent right off the bat.
Those people exchange numbers, so I'll be at the wedding.
Okay.
We had some more brutal rejection. Hate to break it.
I got a pickup line.
What do you got? What do you got?
You going to keep playing? I tell you, you're going to holler at your boy.
Whoa. All right, hey, I'll pay you $5 to do it to a stranger right now.
I'm sorry to bother you. Are you going to keep playing I tag? You going to holler at your boy?
I'm sorry, no. No, thank you.
You got a boyfriend or something?
Yes, I'm sorry.
That's brutal.
That was good. It's almost worse when they apologize. Like, I'm so sorry I just rejected you, but I'm still rejecting you. But I'm so sorry.
That was such a bad pickup line.
No, that guy's confidence came off horrible. He was not likable, so he had that one coming. He's got to practice some. The last one I've got for you is some moms were out of control. This dad was absolutely out of control. This guy is standing with his daughter.
Oh, no.
This is the radio, so I have to say appropriate things, don't I?
Say anything you want.
Were you born on a farm? Because you sure know how to raise a
I'll pay you $5 to try it on someone.
Let's go 20.
Hell no. I got a budget here.
I can't get smacked.
I'll protect
you. Less than 20.
I'll protect you, I swear.
Maybe next time, man.
I don't think I got it.
What's another name for a rooster?
Yes.
Oh,
yes. There it is.
Okay. That was not radio friendly.
Okay. All right. As a sidebar here, when Mikey and I were talking about doing some of this stuff around school, he was telling me that people on campus
now. Not around schools. Not on schools, right?
No. This is not like elementary school. We're talking about colleges.
Universities.
Universities.
Yes. Which is a school also.
Yeah, Mikey has to stay about 60 feet away from us.
So when Mikey was going to, is it North?
GCSU.
GCSU. So when he was going to do it around campus, there are so many TikTokers around campus now that are doing this, and it's like a real turnoff, right?
Yeah, well, at GSU, the one in Atlanta, like, people run to get to the bus before the people with their phones recording get to them. So it's like you're dodging these people with their stupid phones all day.
So he said he had to come on back here and get like a mic flag so people would realize like he was legit and it wasn't just another TikToker.
Yeah, and I might have been too legit. People were too excited. These moms were going crazy.
All right, so we got to send you back out there and I would like to see you do the pickup lines.
Oh, jeez. You trying to get me broken up with, Bert?
It's just a bit.
Just for work, honey.
Just business. It's the Bert Show.
The Bert Show.
I think your knee-jerk reaction is if you're getting harassed at work, yeah, of course you got to say something about it, or do you?
So that's the question, and this is a friend of mine, and she's a woman, and she's in a really rough spot. And unfortunately, I'm sure it's something that a lot of women probably experience at least once in their lifetime. And she came to me, and she was talking to me about this, and she was saying that it's not as easy as I, as a man, thinks to just say something. And that's why I feel for her. And I don't know what she should do. So she's been with this company for a long time, I think over a decade. And she loves her job. She loves everything about her job. She doesn't want to do anything else. In recent times, in the last month of her life, I guess there's been some project that they're working on. And so they've been put into different groups. And her group happens to be with this one guy who is newer to the company. So she had to exchange numbers with the guy, obviously, in order for them to work on the project and talk about work. And she said in the beginning, it started off very normal. Every conversation they would have would be work-based, and that was the end of that. So she's had three incidents now with this guy to this point where she's now literally in a space of, I don't even want to go back to work, but I also am afraid to say something. Because the first incident was she had to go into his office. And she said she felt this weird energy because when she goes into the office, he immediately gets up, closes the door, and closes the shades in the office.
Oh, that's weird.
So that's what she thought. Mm-hmm. She didn't understand what that was about. So the first time he did it, she let it go. And she was just like, all right, I don't know what that was, but that was awkward. So then the second incident happens where he sees her in the hallway, and normally they would just say hello. But for whatever reason, on this particular day, he like reached out to give her a hug. And so she gave him a hug, but when the hug occurred, his hand was a lot lower than it should have been.
Mm. Ooh, uh-huh.
And so she was like, okay, that's the second thing now at this point. So she's like, all right, maybe it was an accident. You know, she's like, man, I'm going to let it go.
No more physical contact after that.
That's it.
I can control that and just deny it.
Right. So then the office part, now after the hug, the office thing feels even more weird where she goes in there. And she noticed that he only does this with her. When a guy would go into the room and they would have to have a meeting, he doesn't close the door. For some reason, when she goes in, he closes the door. So when she noticed this, she got up and opened the door. She didn't say anything about it, just got up and opened it back. He got up and closed it back.
No way.
So that's when she's like, okay,
uh-huh.
I'm not in my head about this. Something is happening here. So the final thing that happened where she was like, all right, now I really need to decide if I'm going to say something. They had some type of conference in, like, you know how you have the conference rooms of a hotel.
Mm-hmm.
So the entire company is there, you know, food, and they're having whatever, their conference together. At some point, she said that he's like texting her from a different table because they all sitting at whatever table that they were assigned to. And he says, what are you doing later for lunch? Do you want to go upstairs?
Nah, I'm busy. I'm going to be in the HR office.
Facts, which I didn't even put together because I was like upstairs.
To his hotel room?
Because there's hotel rooms, which I didn't even put that together. But I'm like, oh, that's what he meant with a wink face. Ends it with a wink face.
Oh, my God.
So now she's got receipts, though.
Yeah.
She does.
Yep.
So she finds out that not only does she have those receipts, but where the hug occurred, there are cameras. So I guess in her talking to someone else that she works with, trying to get some advice, apparently this guy has done this before with someone else at the company, but that woman also didn't say anything. So my knee-jerk reaction was, you should say something, because if you don't, this man is going to continue to get away with this and probably do it to as many women as he can before he's finally called out.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, she goes into the sympathetic place of, you know, he's married and he has kids and I don't want him to lose his job. Mm-hmm. I don't want to create these waves for myself. I don't know what this is going to look like for me and the company if I say something. So she's like, I don't know what to do, Mo, because as much as I want to say something, I really don't see this going well for me if I do.
Yeah, as a fellow woman, you see it all the time. Like, even though you're not the one in the wrong, you're calling out somebody's bad behavior. When a woman speaks up, she typically gets attacked. Like, she will be the one that gets attacked for what she says happens. And it happens time and time again. And that's why, like, I want to empower people to speak up. But I also don't fault them for not saying anything, because when you do, you're either not believed or you're attacked for what you said.
Did you say the power dynamic here is weird? Like, he's in a higher position than she is?
She said it's kind of weird, because not really. They're kind of on an equal playing field,
yeah.
But he is the lead of this project.
Okay, so would a text like this... Again, I'm not a woman, so I haven't been in this situation, so my mind doesn't think like that. But sending a text back saying, I'm feeling uncomfortable. If this continues to happen again, I'm going to HR.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so now she's got the receipt. She's fired her shot. And if they're equal, especially, I don't know what the risk is there.
To me, I mean, I feel like it sounds simpler than it actually is, because like you... explain how this woman is feeling. Women tend to empathize with people's mistreatment of others, like thinking, oh, well, he has kids and he has a wife and I don't want to ruin his life, even though what he did made me feel uncomfortable. Because then we start to think, well, was his hand really that low? Is it me? I mean, mm-hmm. Does he shut the door with everybody anytime they go into the office? And you start to gaslight yourself to where you start to feel like maybe what you're feeling isn't valid, and it's hard to stand on business when you're talking yourself out of it. So for me, if I was her, I would have no problem saying that it was making me feel uncomfortable. But at the same time, like, I don't blame her by mm-hmm. any means if she's not willing to put her career at risk for something that she may not feel confident standing up for yet.
Here's Candace, who's got some advice for you, Mo. Hey, Candace, good morning. You're on the Burt Show.
Good morning. So, one, she needs to read her employee handbook on harassment discrimination. Two, if they retaliate, usually retaliation against a harassment claim is illegal, and she can file an EEOC should they retaliate and terminate her. But this is serious because this guy, I mean, one, he's asked her to basically probably go against her employee handbook of dating or having relationships with upper management.
So, Candace,
who cares? Who cares if he gets fired and he has a family? Who effing cares?
Mm-hmm. That's it.
So, Candace, I have a question for you because you sound like you actually know your stuff. So in this instance, because I've always heard HR is not there to protect you. They're there to protect the company, right? So what if she sends him? Yeah. What if she sends him? What if she sends him an email point blank and says, hi, moving forward, I don't want you to close the door when I come into your office. And please don't send text messages like the one you sent blank. And then you have that in writing and see what happens from there.
She could, but that's going to open up a can of worms because then he's going to start to nitpick and nitpick and nitpick everything that she's doing wrong in her job. And he's going to have documentation of that. She needs to have documentation written out, filed with the company about his harassment.
Candace, are you in HR or did you just watch a lot of Law and Order and stuff?
No, I'm an HR generalist for a staffing agency.
Yeah, you are. We can hear that.
Yeah, absolutely. All right.
Which is why I asked my question.
Yeah. I appreciate you calling very much. Yeah. Thank you.
Appreciate that.
Bye-bye.
Get it. The Burt Show.